Three scriptures. The first is in the Gospel of John and chapter 4 and verse 6. Now a fountain of Jacob's was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with the way he had come, sat just as he was at the fountain. It was about the sixth hour. A woman comes out of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city that they might buy provisions. The Samaritan woman therefore says to him, "How dost thou, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no intercourse with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it says to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Further on, same chapter, verse 25. The woman says to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus says to her, "I who speak to thee am he." And then further on in the Gospel, chapter 18, verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus says to them, "I am he." And Judas also, who delivered him up, stood with them. When therefore he said to them, "I am he," they went away backward and fell to the ground. He demanded of them therefore again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go away, that the word might be fulfilled." And then finally, in Acts chapter 9, "But Saul, still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, came to the high priest and asked of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, so that if he found any who were of the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. But as he was journeying, it came to pass that he drew near to Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light out of heaven. And falling on the earth, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me?' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.'" Three very different scriptures, but they refer to the person of the Lord Jesus. And in the scriptures that we've read, the Lord Jesus reveals himself as to who he is. And so, just thought I would speak about these few verses in John 18 to start with. "Whom seek ye?" I think a lot of persons today are seeking something. But are you seeking the Saviour? Are you seeking to know something of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you, amongst these persons here in chapter 18 of John, that came with malice, that came with swords and sticks, that came with bravado? They wanted to see Jesus the Nazarene. They wanted to kill him. Not much has changed since these words were written. But Jesus reveals himself in grace. He says, "I am he." And then it says, "And they went away backward and fell to the ground." In that moment of time, They saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Son of God. They saw him just momentarily as the one that they had come to kill. But I'm reminded of a hymn we sometimes sing, in perfect meek submission. The Lord allowed them to take him. He allowed them to do all that they did to him. And yet, in the full knowledge of who they were doing it to, Jesus the Nazarene, the one who trod this earth as a meek and humble man. He was found, as it says, in figure as a man, humbling himself, becoming obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross. These words are meant to affect us because they speak of the Saviour. This is quite interesting, the time that it takes for them to realise who they'd come to take. It doesn't seem to come home to them immediately that the person that they'd come to arrest was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I am he. What an opportunity they had. In that place of retreat in the garden, there was the Lord Jesus himself, revealing to them who he was. Jesus the Nazarene. The one that was rejected. The rejected man. The man that people turned their faces from. Speaks of the Lord as his face was marred more than any man's. Man who was rejected by his own. By the ones that he'd come to seek and to save. Rejected. We will not have this man to reign over us. What a serious condition that man found himself in at this point in time. The Lord Jesus presenting himself as the glorious Son of God. And yet, he was able to say, if therefore ye seek me, let these go away. He allowed himself to be taken by the hands of wicked men. Think of the Lord Jesus moving in such a way that the holiness of his person, the fact that he was the Son of God, the creator of the universe, he allowed himself to be taken in this way. Just the way you would arrest any common criminal. The Lord Jesus himself went that way for you and for me. Think of the humility of it. It's not very nice. It's not pleasant to be up against the authorities of the land. I've never been arrested, but I'm sure it's an unpleasant experience. And yet here was the Lord Jesus allowing himself to be taken in this way, to suffer and to die. Doesn't it appeal to your soul's affections when you think of such a person as this coming in this way? Having spoken to his father, having desired that this cup would be taken from him, but he could say, not my will, but thine be done. What perfect meek submission. Never see that in anyone else today, do we? Perfect, meek submission. But we see it in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who God has highly exalted, the one who is being given a name, that which is above every name. Well, I just want to also refer to these few verses in John 4. Here was someone who wasn't exactly seeking anything other than a daily sustenance. But the Lord was seeking her. Do you know that the Lord is seeking you? You may not realize it. You may be quite happy going on in the way you've always done, doing the things that need doing, doing the things that perhaps are a necessity to your life and to the things that you have to do, the responsibilities you have. And yet, the Lord Jesus is seeking you. And it says that he must needs pass through Samaria. Didn't read that bit, but that's what it says. He must needs pass through Samaria. Why was that? Because of this woman. As far as she was concerned, this man was a stranger, unknown to her, a traveller, tired, thirsty. Don't know whether she'd come across persons like this before. Possibly she had. But the Lord knows the right question to ask. Give me to drink. Well, I think this question had been asked of this woman before, because she comes back straight back. How dost thou ask of me, a Samaritan woman? But the Lord Jesus appeals to her afresh. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him. And who it is that says to thee, give me to drink. That's the person that has trodden that path all the way to Samaria. That is the Lord of glory. And he's gone, you might say, out of his way to find you and to find me. Why does he do that? Because he loves you. It's as simple as that. He loves you. And he loves me. And I know he loves me. I know he loves me because he's died for me. But there's more to it than that. Because the woman was someone who knew a little bit about what she believed. I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. Wonderful that she knew that much, being a Samaritan, but she did. And the Lord was able to work on that. And he says, I who speak to thee am he. What a revelation for that woman. It must have filled her soul. It must have answered every question that she had. The Lord has spoken to her of her past, spoken to her of things that she would have never thought a stranger would have known. And the Lord says to her, I am he. How wonderful. Her heart, you know, I think, would have skipped a beat. Someone that she'd met just, you might say, minutes before, was telling her her history, telling her what she needed to know. If thou knewest the gift of God, and here was an opportunity that she wasn't going to let it go. Here was the one who, she said subsequently, told me all things ever I had done. Is not he the Christ? Oh, think of the work that took place in her soul. You know, that work can take place in your soul. The Lord Jesus is still, if I may say, waiting in grace and in patience at Samaria's well. Waiting for you to come and to give him to drink. So what can I give him? That's what the question was this woman asked. What can I do? Well's deep. You've got nothing to draw with. But the Lord can meet every difficulty, every question. He's willing and able to do it right now for you. Think of the glory of the man that stooped from glory's highest height to this place in Samaria. Think of him moving in such a way that his love took him to this place where he met this woman. And his love has taken him now to you where you are, whatever your circumstances, whatever your need. I know there's need in this hall. I know there is. There's need in the world. There's need in Worthing. There's need where I come from. Everywhere you look, there's need of different sorts and another. And the Lord is able to meet all those needs. What a glorious man he is. He is willing and able to save. There's no limit on what the Lord Jesus can do. We put limits on what we're able to do because we know our frailty. But you're dealing with someone who has no limit. Love is deep and endless. He's able to save to the uttermost. Think of that. Cannot hold the Lord Jesus back. Cannot do anything to stop him. If he desires you in his presence, nothing will stop him. You think of the power of Satan. Yes, it's great. The darkness that covered the land. And yet, God's power is greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, let's just refer now to Acts. This is a scripture I love. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. Wasn't physically speaking to him like the woman was, but nevertheless, it meant just as much to Saul here. The power of that voice, the light that shone, it affected him immediately. He didn't need to stop and think. The power of that voice struck right in to his soul. I am Jesus. What a revelation to a man that was bent on persecuting all, it says, who are of the way. Any believer in the Lord Jesus, Saul, was going to bind and take to Jerusalem. And here was the voice of the Lord Jesus himself. Stopped him dead in his tracks. You know, a transaction with the Lord Jesus will stop you dead in your tracks. Perhaps we need to have a transaction with the Lord Jesus like this. It really will work in your heart to such an extent you'll want to serve him. And you know, that was the outcome of this transaction with Saul. Far from persecuting those, it says, he of himself, I was an overbearing man, it says. I was a sinful and overbearing man, but mercy was shown me. And from this time on, Saul was one who wanted to serve his master. Something so great happened in the soul of Saul at this time. You just like to know more about what went on in his heart at that moment. The power and the greatness of the Lord Jesus himself just flooded his soul. I would like the power and greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ to flood my soul. He's able to come in and he's able to draw near to you just in the way that he drew near to the woman at Samaria's well. He doesn't demand anything of you. Just wants your trust. Just wants you to realize that he has given his life for you. He shed his precious blood. What a saviour he is. Make him yours tonight. Make him the one that you are going to serve from this time on. It says in the Old Testament, choose you this day whom you will serve. Don't get many choices in Scripture, but that's one. Choose you this day whom you will serve. May it be the Lord Jesus himself. For his name's sake.